Lynn Hiles Ministries presents Dr. Lynn Hiles, That You Might Have Life. And here's your host, Dr. Lynn Hiles.
And welcome back to the program again this week. I trust you've been tuning in every week at the same time, or that you are watching the YouTube version of the television program. We've been doing a series called The Book of Revelation Revisited. And we really felt that this was a season to revisit some of the things that we have said about the book of Revelation in light of a lot of the fear that is out there on the body of Christ. I think that a great deal of people know what they've been saved from. They just don't know what they've been saved for. And we've not only been saved so we can evacuate and go to heaven. We've been saved so that we can be God's representatives in the earth and His image bearers, so that the earth can be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord and to be participators with Him in His new creation project, if you will. Today, I'm going to revisit some things that I probably should have done in the very beginning of this series, because when I teach many times from the book of Revelation, the common argument is always about sometimes the dating of the book of Revelation, and they will say, well, you know, that would, I could buy into that, except that the book of Revelation was written in, I think they say about 95 AD. But that's, I'm going to give you some facts that I think will be a blessing for you, and I'm going to be reading a great deal of this from my book, The Revelation of Jesus Christ. And throughout this program, there will be ads where you can get this book. The second edition has, I added this in the second edition of the reprint of our book on Revelation, because I thought it was so vitally important. And then people continually ask these same questions. But in the beginning of this book, I ask several questions and stuff that we should automatically know. If you've ever been in an English class or you're trying to read something objectively and try to understand it, is you ask these questions. They always told us in school, you ask the who, the what, the when, the where, and the why. And usually you can kind of come up to some clarity when you start to, ask those questions. So, to whom was this book written? I'm reading from some of the things I've put in this book. The answer is it was written to seven churches that were really in Asia in the first century. We must first read the book as something that is relevant to that first century church. Context is especially important. A text out of context is just a con. And so, and he's telling them to repent. And like I said, I jumped into this this study on Revelation without going back a lot to the first few chapters. And the reason I did that is because I've already written this book to deal with the first four or five chapters. We're jumping in really strongly, more so in the fifth, sixth, seventh chapters of Revelation. But you have to ask yourself who, what, when, where, and why. And when you see that these are seven churches that were really in Asia, and he's writing to them, and he's telling them to repent. Now, repent does not just mean you need to get saved. It means, it's the Greek word, metanoia, and it means change the way you think. So what this book is written to is a people who are the first century people in the change from an old covenant to a new covenant paradigm. And everything he tells them to repent of is going to thrust them into a new covenant mindset. And I could stop and probably really develop that somewhat, but just to give you, you know, just the very last one, when he addresses the church, the last church in Revelation, he says, behold, I stand at the door and knock, and if any man will hear my voice and open to me, I will come into him and will sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcomes, I will grant him to sit with me in my throne, even as I'm overcome and am set down with my Father in his throne. So he's talking about a church moving as they repent into a understanding of a kingdom dominion mindset. Because when you come to the fourth chapter of Revelation, the very door that he was knocking on is now open in chapter four of Revelation. I saw a door open in heaven and a throne. There's no chapter divisions in the original text. So the story continues. So when he's knocking at this door and it's opened in the fourth chapter and he's inviting them to the throne, and the throne is in the next chapter, and then you see a rainbow around about the throne, which is a symbol of the new covenant, and you can take that imagery from Noah's ark. God put his bow in the cloud as a symbol, a token of the covenant. But the main thing is that he's sitting there with this church saying, I'm going to come into you and sup with you. He's offering them the covenant meal. And the covenant meal was the Passover meal. Whenever Jesus, the night before his decease, said, this is my body, it was broken for you. This is, and then he said, this is the blood of the new covenant that's given for you. And so he's offering them this transition and this exodus that I will talk a lot about and probably have already talked a lot about. This incredible exodus paradigm is all through the New Testament. And we will talk about that more as we look at some of the timelines in Revelation. But this, you see that they're moving from an old covenant. What this exodus is about is an exodus out of an old covenant bondage of Egyptian slavery into a new covenant kingdom mentality of a new covenant ruling and reigning with Christ as sons and daughters of God rather than slaves. And I've shared this before, but I'll say it here, that the 11th chapter of Revelation tells you that talks about the two witnesses, that their dead bodies will be trampled underfoot of the holy city. And it tells you that where it says that their dead bodies shall lie in the street of the great city, which is spiritually called, watch this, Sodom and Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified. Our Lord was not crucified in Sodom and Egypt. Our Lord was crucified in Jerusalem. But the Holy Spirit is telling them that the spiritual city or the spiritual bondage of Egypt is identified with Jerusalem, the center place of Old Covenant Judaism. See, the book of Revelation is not some standalone book that's talking about something that's going to happen in the 21st century. It was the end of the covenant deal, and the iconic symbols that are used to explain the book of Revelation are always found in the scriptures. The scriptures will interpret the scriptures if you will let them. But we try to see it through a 21st century lens, and we miss the point of what's happening many times. I don't want to get too bogged down here. So the who is the seven churches that were in Asia? The what is the answer is, the what is the question is the revelation of Jesus Christ and his redemptive work. A revelation of Jesus to you will produce a revelation of Jesus through you. Throughout all of these churches in the book of Revelation, he will first give them a revelation of who he is in that church, that the revelation will then empower them to make the change in the thinking that he's calling for in each of those churches. When they truly get a revelation of the finished work of Jesus Christ, when they get a revelation of the fact that he's the one who's walking in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks, and he's the one, and the seven golden candlesticks are the church, we start to get this revelation of what it means, Christ in you, the hope of glory, and that he is presently right now reigning in his temple. Don't want to get too bogged down on that, but I'm going to especially emphasize the dating of the book. So I'm going to read some stuff from the when part of my book. And once again, you can order this book because there'll be ads throughout this program where you can get this book and get this documentation. I put, whether it's mainstream to believe it was written around 95 AD or before 70 AD, is it really the point? Even futurists must admit that the rapture doctrine is relatively new in church history. But here's 10 reasons why I believe Revelation was written before 70 AD. Some of the following is cut from a book, Rapturalist, by Jonathan Weldon, and the quote and the original status was from an article by someone else. You could also see Ken Gentry's book, Before Jerusalem Fell, The Dating of the Book of Revelation, for more dating on the Book of Revelation. But here's what I wrote. I've come to understand that most of the book of Revelation was written regarding events that took place at the destruction of Jerusalem in AD 70. The scope of the book in your hands is not able to adequately address this topic. However, I do want to briefly discuss the issues of authorship. To believe that Revelation is about the AD 70 destruction and the main issue that must be addressed in the date of authorship. If the book was written in AD 96, as modern teachers claim, then there is no way that my point could be valid. And that's where most of the arguments come in. Yet I believe that the overwhelming body of evidence proves beyond a reasonable doubt that Revelation was more likely written before AD 68. Therefore, it is important to take a few minutes to establish the date of its writing. The primary reason some Bible teachers claim that the book of Revelation was written around AD 96 is because John noted in Revelation 1:9 he was on an island of Patmos at the time he received the revelation. There is some historical evidence that John was exiled to Patmos under the reign of Domitian between AD 81 and AD 96. Therefore, the book might have been written during that time, or some claim. There are also historical documents that tell us that John was exiled to Patmos at a much earlier date. Here I will share some evidence that the Revelation was written around AD or before AD 68. The number one reason is we have the witness of one of the most ancient versions of the New Testament, which is called the Syriac. Now the Syriac is one of the most ancient transcripts. It is one of the most ancient versions of the New Testament called the Syriac. The second century Syriac version, called the Peshitto, says the following on the title page of the book of Revelation. The revelation which was upon the holy John, the evangelist from God, when he was on the island of Patmos, where he was thrown by, watch this, the emperor Nero, not Domitian, but Nero. We know that Nero Caesar ruled over the Roman Empire from AD 54 to AD 68. Therefore, John had to have been on an island of Patmos during this earlier period. One of the oldest versions of the Bible tells us when Revelation was written. That alone, I think, is a pretty compelling argument, because it's one of the oldest dated versions of the New Testament, called the Syriac, that dates this as John being on the island of Patmos during the reign of Nero, Caesar. Number two, in Revelation chapter number 17, it says, when we look at the internal evidence, then we find that there is also clear indicator regarding the date of authorship found in Revelation 17:10. It says this: they are also seven kings. Five have fallen, one is, and the other has not yet come. And when he does come, he must remain only for a little while. This passage is speaking of the line of the rulers in Rome, and tells us exactly, if I'd have thought about this earlier, I'd have had my team to bring up the chart of the Caesars, the line of the Caesars chart, because it tells us exactly how many rulers had come. Now, this is, to me, internal evidence. Tells us how many rulers had come and which one was currently in power, and that the next one would only last a short while. Look at how that perfectly fits with Nero and the Roman Empire of the first century. The rule of the first seven empires are as follows. The first we're talking about during the time and season of Jesus. Again, Revelation 17 says there are seven kings. Five have fallen, one is, the other is not yet come, and when he does come, he must continue or remain for just a little while. The first ruler, or the first king that was in the lineage of the Caesars, was Julius Caesar, and his reign was from 49 to 44 B.C. The second in the line was Augustus. Remember in Luke's gospel where it says, and there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. He was the second in the line of the Julian line of Caesars, and he was from 27 BC to AD. And then Tiberius was the third in the line. Well, good, my team got that up. That was the third in the line from AD 14 to AD 37, that was the reign of Tiberius. And then the fourth king was Caligula. Now, you can look this stuff up historically. The fourth king was Caligula, and his reign was from A.D. 37 to 41. Then Claudius Caesar came and began to reign from A.D. 41 to A.D. 54. Now, if Revelation 17 says five have fallen, you see these first five kings here have fallen. Five have fallen. And then you says, and one is. The one who was at that particular time, if the one is, was Nero. His reign was from A.D. 54 to A.D. 68. And after that, Galba came on the scene, A.D. 68 to January of A.D. 60, a six-month rule, and in confirmation of the fact that five have fallen, one is, and the other is not yet come. When he comes, he continues a short space. And so that was exactly what happened with Galba, is that he reigned for simply 6 months. Nero was officially the last of the Julio-Claudian line of emperors. Thus the line ended, and it would have seemed symbolically as if the head of the empire had been wounded to death, or the beast of Revelation had a wound to the head, but yet did live, and he was wounded to death. Nero committed suicide by falling on his own sword, hence fulfilling the scripture, he that killeth with the sword will also be killed with the sword. It is also amazing, and I'll get into this probably a little bit more as we get into this series, that Nero, his name, literally, Lucius Nero, was his name, and his name literally has a numerical value of 666. He set a statue of himself up at Agora and commanded that the people would burn incense and worship the image of the beast. They called him a beast. He dressed in animal skins, and he was one of the most vicious to torture and kill the saints and persecute and behead and martyr many of the saints. And remember when I talked about the last couple of segments, how that these seals and these plagues and these judgments that are being poured out are in response to the prayers of the souls of the saints under the altar, saying, "How long till thou dost avenge us from the blood?" And he said, "You must rest a little while until your fellow servants that should be killed are killed." And but when you read Luke's version of the Olivet Discourse, he tells you these are the days of vengeance, that all things which were spoken might be fulfilled. That's what's being fulfilled in the book of Revelation. So the internal evidence of these kings. And so after that, Nero's sudden death caused an event that has been historically called the Year of the Four Emperors. Because of the tumult caused by his suicide, three short-lived emperors followed Nero. Many thought that the Roman Empire was about to die. Here's the timeline of A.D. 69, the year of the four emperors. In A.D. 69, Nero from 54 to 68 A.D. And once again, he fits the description of the beast that had a wound to the head, yet did live. And you see him fit it almost exactly without, they would give them, you can read this in Wikipedia, that without, they would take the incense that they had burnt to the statue in worship of the image of that beast, of the emperor worship of Nero, and they would take the ashes and put a mark on their head or their hand, and then they would give them a writing of a libellus, I think is how you pronounce it. And without that writing, you could not buy or sell in the marketplace. Hence, it fulfills what a lot of people think are coming out in their future. It's in their past. And we're gonna go back and even read some things from the book of Daniel. And we're going to show you how that the kings that Daniel saw would be involved during the latter days would be this Roman Empire with its seven-headed monster that would come up out of the sea. And it just fits perfectly with the rest of the Bible, like it's not a standalone book that somehow is pulled completely out of context. It was the continuing covenant journey, first of all, with the house of Israel and God keeping his covenant with them, and then them coming to the end of that period of time where the new covenant was now fully in operation, because on the cross, Jesus fulfilled every demand that the law could make on us. And then the book of Hebrews tells us that which has been finished is now fading away. And for the next 40 years, it was fading away. So you see that these were the lineage. Galba came 68 through 69. Otho came A.D. 69. Vitellus came in A.D. 69. I mean, that was a lot of emperors that came and didn't last long. And then Vespasian came on the scene in A.D. 69 through A.D. And there seemed to be a miraculous turnaround because the empire was revived under Vespasian and Titus. When they came into power, they established the Flavian dynasty of Caesars. Instead of the beast dying, it resurrected under Vespasian, and he ruled for a solid 10 years. That's internal evidence. Now, you can do whatever you want to with this. Once again, the way I teach eschatology is I'll report, you decide. And some of this stuff I didn't want to see when I was in, I didn't grow up teaching this. I grew up in dispensational theology and rapture theory and theology, and I'm not trying to fight anybody, and I believe there are honest, sincere people and all that. I just begin to see that the evidence was so overwhelming that I could not, refute it. Here's the third reason. It says, lo, he doth come with clouds, and see him shall every eye, even those who did pierce him, and wail because of him, shall all the rulers of the land. Yea, amen. That came from Young's Literal Translation. And I put in, this was the fulfillment of the prophecy of Zechariah 12, verse 10, that they which pierced him will look upon him, and they will mourn for them as one who lost their only child. And here's what it's, this phrase, those who pierced him, refers to the people of the first century. They were the ones that pierced him. Remember, he says to them in chapter 1, the time is at hand. Behold, I am coming quickly. On and on, those time phrases are used. So of the first century, according to this passage, they were expected to be alive at the time of Revelation's fulfillment. How's that possible if Revelation was not going to come to pass until 2,000 years or more later? Also consider that those who did pierce him were even alive in A.D. 96, because they would have killed in the slaughter of A.D. because they would have been, they would not have been alive. It said, consider that those who did pierce him, consider that it, were they even alive in 96? Because they would have been killed in the slaughter of A.D. 70. This verse is a clear indicator of Revelation being written before A.D. 70. The Jewish persecution of Christianity in Revelation 6 and 11 indicates a pre-A.D. authorship. The Jews were not in a position to persecute the early church after they were slaughtered in A.D. 70. In fact, since the A.D. 70 slaughter, the Jews have never been in a position to persecute Christians. Number four, here's the fourth reason, the Judaizing heretics in the church. The activity of the Jews Judaizing heretics in the church is seen in Revelation 2, verse 6, 9, and 15, and also chapter 3, verse 9, would not have been as large of an issue after Paul's epistles were circulated. Therefore, an early date of authorship allows for the heretics to be a larger problem. Number five, one of the main ones, existence of Jerusalem and the temple. In Revelation 11, this suggests a date before the destruction of A.D. 70. It appears the temple was still standing in Revelation, the 11th chapter, because the Romans sieged the city for the amount of time that's specified there, 42 months. And they were there during the writing of the book of Revelation, which predates it to the 70 A.D., prior to the 70 A.D. Number six, time-related passages. The internal time-related portions of Revelation indicate that the events it foretells will come to pass shortly. See Revelation 1, verse 1, Revelation 3, Revelation 1 and 3, and then also Revelation 22, verse 10 and verse 20. If this is read with an unbiased perspective, one would conclude that Revelation was not written about events 2,000 years in the future. Number seven, the appearance of John in A.D. 96. Another reason to believe that the book of Revelation was written at the earlier date is because Jerome noted in his writings that John was seen in A.D. 96 and that he was so old and infirmed that he was with difficulty carried to the church and could speak only a few words to the people. We must put this fact together with Revelation 10:11. John said, John must prophesy again concerning many peoples and nations and tongues and kings. It is difficult to imagine that John would be able to speak to many nations and many kings at any date after 96. He was already elderly and feeble, and fulfillment of what Jesus said, another will gird you and carry you. What will you if he tarries till I come? The timetable comparison with Daniel, and we're going to get into this one in probably some of our next segments. In Daniel, the author was told, seal up the vision, for it was for a long way off. Daniel 12, verse 4 says, referred to a 483-year wait until Jesus came to fulfill the prophecy. By contrast, in Revelation, John was told to not seal up the vision. See, Daniel was told, seal up the vision, for this vision is for the time of the end. But the writer of the book of Revelation was told, don't seal up the time or the vision or this book, because the time is at hand. And he said, because it things that must shortly come to pass. Revelation 22, verse 10. 483 years was considered a long way off in the book of Daniel, meaning that the vision should be sealed. It makes no sense that 2,000 years plus would be considered shortly to come to pass and not be sealed up. Clearly, Revelation should not be sealed because it was about to come to pass at the AD 70 destruction of Jerusalem. Number 9 reason is the existence of only 7 churches in Asia Minor. Revelation 1 indicates a writing before the greater expansion of Christianity into that region. John told his readers that Antipas was killed among you, and history records that he died around AD 39. I'm telling you, this is, to me, pretty unrefutable evidence. And other perspectives is those who believe in the later date of authorship of the book of Revelation are mainly leaning on the fact that Irenaeus, the Bishop of Lyons, AD 120 through 202, claimed that John wrote while on the Isle of Patmos under Domitian's reign. This alone could be seen compelling, except that Irenaeus is notorious for being terrible at accurately recording dates and times in his writings. Irenaeus is the same church father who claimed that Jesus' ministry lasted nearly 20 years. From the age of 30 until the age of 55. There is no internal evidence for the later date of authorship. One must have only to appoint external evidence to force this conclusion. So even the guy who they all base it on said that Jesus was 55 years old when he was crucified, when he was probably more like 33 years old. We'll address this later in the book, but the biblical last days were referring to the last days of the Old Covenant age. Many references refer to the end of the world in the King James Bible are mistranslations of the Greek word that means age. In other words, the end of the world is not the end of the globe, it is the end of the age. Where the biblical text recognizes the audience is everything, and that where it was talking about 7 churches that were in Asia. So when we ask the who, the what, the when, the where, and the why, then the why is because he is giving the full revelation of Jesus, and that the reality of it is why those 7 churches? Those 7 churches were in major cities, which is a paved Roman road went through, which was a paved Roman road went through. Roman armies on their way to Rome to Jerusalem had one mission, kill every Jew you find, whether they are Christian or not. Does not matter. Well, we're out of time, so that's it for today's program. Come and join us again next week at the same time. God bless you.
For anyone struggling to understand John's writings in Revelation, this book provides true, biblically based answers. Through detailed insights into the letters John wrote to the 7 churches of his day, you will learn how to avoid the mistakes of the early church to overcome today's trials and tribulations. This book will provoke you to thought and dialogue, bringing greater clarity and revelation of Jesus Christ.